There's always like this long, weird pause where I'm making sure it goes live. And so we're just in the middle of talking, and hopefully it clicks and goes live in the right time. It's probably live now, but we'll have to wait.
It's so cool because I can hear your voice getting deeper and deeper.
Well, how deep you want to go, baby? Oh, my God. That's how we open the podcast. Welcome to He Said, She Said.
You're supposed to say, I'm Adam Lowry.
No. Welcome to He Said, She Said. Yeah.
You say he said, and I say she said.
I was doing
it
different.
Oh,
I was thinking if you could just keep up with me.
Okay.
Welcome to He Said, She Said, talking love and relationships.
Yeah.
All right, then.
You're not really giving me anything to like bounce off of.
Oh, there's no notes in this one. This isn't a TV show, honey.
Oh, you know what?
Let me check the sound anyway. Just to make sure, hopefully we don't sound like we're in a bathroom like last week's minute that we went live.
That was funny. This long, weird pause
where I'm making sure. Yeah.
See, your voice was this long, weird
this
pause.
This long, weird pause. You always giggle, though.
Oh, I know. I melt. I love it.
Oh, I love it.
I felt myself sinking in my chair.
Sinking in your chair?
Yeah.
All right.
That's when I got southern, so I had to go down south.
Well, we are also watching here on Facebook, too. So if you chime in, if you want to chime in, we'll probably say hi or something or read whatever you're chiming in at. You got to set your laptop up from now on so you can see who's watching and answer questions.
Then I'll have to wear my glasses and I'll have to pay attention. Can I just be a guest?
No, you're the host of the show.
I know, I'm so spoiled.
Yeah.
By the way, I really do appreciate your little setup thing you got going. You're pretty good.
What setup thing?
I like the new little, you know, he said, she said photo and all that stuff. You're creative.
Oh, I have my moments. I got to keep up with you. You're the creative one. See, look at that. Looks cool, doesn't it?
It does look pretty cool.
Who are they kissing? Aw. Yeah.
I love that photo.
So if you see it in the top screen here, right above me as you all are watching, right
in the center
there.
And right above you.
Yeah, if you're watching now, we're already on Facebook. Make sure you like and follow the page. And then also we are on YouTube. So iTunes, almost. We got to get a couple more episodes in the bank before we send it to iTunes for various reasons. Yeah. Oh. Intellectual property reasons we're not going to discuss.
All right. We'll not discuss it.
Yeah. Then we'll send it to iTunes after that. But you know what? Let's crank us up here a little bit. How's that?
Ooh, yeah.
You like that?
I do, yeah.
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 We're up in there now. Don't worry, it wasn't your volume at home. I had to crank up the mixer a little bit. I do like this setup, though. It's like way chill.
Yeah, I do, too. I can finally sit back. I have an issue when I can't sit back. You know, when you're just like this, I feel like I'm not being myself. Like I can't be, you know.
Yeah, the last couple of podcasts, you're all like.
I know.
Crammed up in there.
I prefer we not talk about that.
What, crammed up in there?
Well, we can talk about that.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to start the show, actually, with some news.
Coming up live.
On Sunday, coming up this Sunday, you can see Patricia May, my other half, on television. Yeah, somebody. I say somebody. You got to host a show called Point of View.
Yeah. Not host, but I was one of the hosts.
Don't downplay yourself. Listen, I was listening to this podcast today, right? And there's a thing like humble bragging, right? Yeah. Where people say things like...
I see where you're getting ready to go.
No, for real. Where people, they say, they'll do something like, you know, not worthy. Thanks for my award tonight or something like that, right? It's this humble brag kind of thing. But they, and actually, research has shown that... It really has. That it's better if you just brag because people respect it because you're just like, I'm the shit. I did this awesome TV show as opposed to be like, I'm so honored to be on stage with somebody famous. You know what I mean? Something like that. And be real, man. I think it's so cool, bro.
I'm totally being...
You're going to be on NBC Comcast.
I know, right?
Afro Channels.
Yeah.
Of all channels, too.
It was so cool. It really was. It
Afrotainment
was,
channel yes. on Comcast and NBC sister channel.
I fit right in.
Yeah, you did. And so it's like The View.
Yeah.
Except it's called Point of View.
Just better.
And in one of the, there's five ladies that host the show.
What are they for?
Five ladies.
Okay.
Is it four?
I think, let me see, there's.
Yeah, it's four.
One. Yeah, four.
Four ladies.
I think it's usually five. That's why you were thinking that.
Okay. And one of the ladies actually used to host on The View.
Uh-huh. She was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was, and she also was on tour with Celine Dion.
Oh, wow. She's a singer, too.
Yeah, she was great. I loved it.
Did she sing?
She sang a little bit, but, you know, when they were not recording, her and I were bouncing it up back and forth singing.
Oh, you were singing, too?
Well, yeah.
Well, I know you can wail. Your single will be coming out soon. Yeah?
Yeah, I would love to finish that. Yeah, that was fun.
Here I Am, yeah. Patricia May. Mm-hmm. It's going to be putting out a single. I'm producing it. We'll put the tracks to it.
Yeah.
But you'll be singing the Here I Am song that we've been working on. So, yeah, you got a music coming out. You just hosted a talk show that's going to be on television that premieres Sunday night, prime time, 8:30 p.m.
Well, don't forget about you. Yours is, too.
Hey, dang right.
You're like, I was going to go there.
I was going to humble brag, but I was like, you're damn right. I was
great.
Well, I got the 11:30 spot for an awesome show, though, called
Lowdown.
Yeah, but
those shows are always at that time, so it's not like...
Yeah, it's a comedy talk show.
Yeah, it looked really, really fun, actually.
Yeah, it was fun. James, great dude. I always forget his last name. Sorry, James. Yeah, but James is the host of it. It's called The Lowdown on the same channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, on NBC, Comcast, Afro Channels. Afrotainment produces the show. Shout out to Katrina Green.
Yeah, she's great. I really, really like her a lot.
Yeah, she did her thing. And Candace Blake.
Mm-hmm.
Got to lead for your show, right?
Yeah, she did a great job. It was her first time leading. The normal lead is on maternity leave, so Candace took over.
Yeah, that is so cool. That is so neat. I mean, I wasn't there in studio with you. You put some notes together. You got in there and you did the show.
Yeah.
I mean, how was it?
It was really, really cool. You know, you go in there, you sit down, and it's kind of cool because, you know, like they've got the whole thing set up already with the whole city thing in the background. And they're all beautiful women and very diverse in their beauty as well, which was... it was really fun to banter with other intelligent women that were also... very sexy in their own ways. Like they were very confident, and it was really fun to be around that and to listen to their points of view. And
I see what you did there. Yeah. You worked on a TV show.
Mm-hmm. So it was super cool. It was a great experience. I thought I was going to be a little bit more nervous the way that I feel about stand up. You know, like
you were pretty nervous the day before, but I told you what I tell you. I'm like, you're gonna
you know me, how nervous I got just even if I go on other stupid stuff. Like if I just go live.
I knew once you're thrown in the fire, when you know you can't pass out, you can't run away, when you're locked in, I knew you were gonna lock in and kill it. I haven't even seen it, so I haven't seen that. You got to watch actually why we recorded it, why we taped my show.
Yeah, I was watching.
Or my appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you've already seen it. So mine.
Not the whole thing though.
No, not the whole thing?
No. I remember I came in like towards like you were probably about 10 minutes in, maybe.
Okay.
5 minutes.
Yeah, so you got a little bit to watch.
Yeah, I felt like I was like you've done it a million times, which you obviously have, but you haven't done this style, and it was
you're right, I haven't.
It was really, you were a natural. There was like no dead silence or anything like that. It was cool.
Well,
liked it.
You know, I tell you what was funny. It was for the first time to be introduced as a comedian. It wasn't author. It wasn't podcaster. It wasn't, you know, any of that.
Yeah.
It was introduced as a comedian.
And it was believable. It wasn't like...
Well, thank you. It was believable. Hey, they bought that shit.
Well, you know, people can introduce someone as a comedian any day, but you might go, where at?
They bought that shit. Can you believe it? It was believable.
It was. It was great. You guys really bounced off each other perfect.
Yeah. James is cool. He was funny. Now, the show that's airing just before mine, he goes by Tight Mike. He's a well-known stand-up comic in Orlando. Dude was a murderer.
He was. I didn't get to see any of that.
Shit. I'm in the room, man, and it's hard just to kind of keep up with him, man. Tight Mike was killing it on that show, dude. Dude was hilarious. He was killing, man. I was like...
Was it the same style?
He had his own style. Yeah, same monologue type thing.
Okay, so him sitting next to James, yeah.
Yeah. But man, his comedy was killer, man. Like I was like, shit, this dude's funny. I was like, I got some shoes. And the show was great. And so when they're done, I'm like, fuck, I'm next. I haven't had a drink.
For that setup.
Nothing. It's the middle of the afternoon. I can't like go have a make a drink real quick.
Well, see, that was what was so cool about it was it was like, what? Yeah, sure. Bounce in your car. You're there. You're like, you coming down?
Well, yeah, because it was random. I was downtown at the company trader building, and I'm like, now?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. All right. I was like, all right, I'm going.
I think it was better that it happened that way because both of us didn't have time to overthink it.
Yeah, you just had 24 hours to freak out.
I did not freak out that bad. I'm telling you. You might think so, but I think I was freaking out because I had
so many
podcasts.
You passed out twice.
Oh, shut your face. You lied so bad.
So, walk me through more. I mean, it's not like we haven't talked about it, right? But share with people. I mean,
yeah.
You what was it like, man, walking? I mean, it's a real deal studio.
I'll tell you about it. So we walked in. Of course, you know, I tried to wear... Because you're supposed to be, you know, your savvy self.
Oh, you looked hot. You had the white blazer going.
I did have the puff sleeves. However, sexy. I mean, shoulders. It was, I did feel good in it. However, the shoulder thing was bugging the crap out of me. It was scratching me. But aside from that, it was actually kind of fun to, you know, because they come up to you. And for a couple seconds there, I felt like a movie star. Because, you know, it's like, can I get you anything? Do you want some water? Do you want some coffee? And I was like, oh, yeah. Could you bring me a cappuccino?
Yeah.
But they didn't. I didn't say that. I thought it.
Oh, and I was flattered, too, when the producer of the other show asked you for your number.
Don't say that.
I did. Well, fuck that guy.
Oh, God.
I think it was funny, though.
He didn't ask me for my number, by the way. I honestly...
Well, I thought it was funny how he led it into as if it was going to be future work. I was like, dude, that's weak, bro.
When you give someone your card and that is your position, for me, naturally, I'm going to... Yeah, you're right. in a professional setting. So he's like, here you go. Give me a call. You know, and it was a serious face. And
dude,
I was like,
he was deadpanning it on the fact that, hey, call me for some future work here, okay?
I don't know. I don't know.
Get the fuck out
of
here.
I told you about it, you know, like, before,
I know
you did. Like right then and there. And so I was like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
Look, don't get me wrong. If a fella isn't looking or asking, well, something might be wrong on my end. You know, I'll be checking my own shit. Why is no one looking at my lady when we walk through the grocery store? This is not good. Fellas, if you're out there and no one's spotting your lady, be glad you love her.
Oh.
No, so I don't mind that, man. He didn't know we're together. I wasn't there with you, whatever. So I'll take the flattery as you can, too, for the hit. But then as if you didn't know, homie. So I had to reach out to him and be like, hey, brother. I'm gonna just let you know.
Yeah, you did do that, and you know when that kind of stuff happens, and you don't really have any control over it, this is my like attitude with you in general.
Though. I wanted to be like hashtag me too, motherfucker.
No, I'm like, he didn't cross any lines.
No,
as far as
but
that
you're
goes.
Talking a position of power.
Yeah,
producer of a TV show. You were a guest and could be host later. Come on, man. Right?
Yeah, but I'm telling you.
No? All right.
No, I know what you're saying. I agree with you on that. I just, bottom line, it doesn't matter. It's unprofessional. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, 100%. So back to the fun
forward,
part. I just
want
to throw that out there.
Part.
I thought it was funny. So throw
really,
that out
wait,
there.
Before you go back there, I want to say this about you.
Oh.
Like, for instance, like when we were at your birthday party a couple of years ago, they're like, aren't you getting hooked at Adam? Because, you know, when you were chasing that
cop.
Yeah,
we got to... God, I was going to... Don't say anything.
Oh, why not? It's flipped. When you were chasing that... what was he? Like a beach guard?
No, he's actually a federal agent.
Oh, sorry. You know, when you were chasing that federal agent...
to go...
He was trying
him
to have us put out our fire or something, but he was very aggressive
was
in his
rude.
Approach.
He was rude.
Remember?
And he did not identify himself.
Yeah, that's the key thing right there. But
yeah.
So we're all sitting around and the couple of the people are looking at us and they're like, aren't you going to go like take care of Adam? And I'm like, hell no, he's a grown man.
I shouldn't have done that.
Well, you didn't do anything inappropriate. You just told him, hey, you need to show yourself. Tell us who you are before you come at us like that. You can't do that. You're risking your life.
Yeah, I didn't know until I turned the corner that he was actually a badge-holding federal agent.
But, you know, I'm just sitting back and chilling, and they're like, why aren't you going after them? I'm like, he ain't my son.
No, you're like, I'm not going to be a part of that. Are you kidding?
No,
it's called accessory.
Yeah, like,
that's what you were
I'll
doing.
I'll bail him out. No, but I do appreciate and love that about you, that you just kind of take care of things. Like, Even when I came home and was telling you about that funny thing about the whole number thing, I knew I could just tell you, and you just took care of the problem. I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. That's attractive.
And I didn't go off on a dude.
No,
either.
You were very classy about it. You're like, yeah.
He's like, I'll save your number, is what he texts you. I'll save the number. And I'm like, no need to save my lady's number, homie. And he texts me back, I understand.
Yeah, which was cool. You guys just let it go.
Yeah. Well, look, you get out of jail free card acting as if you didn't know we're together, all right? You get out of jail free card, but now you can't act like you don't know. Now you've been told, you go beyond that. I'm not going to talk to you much after that.
Right.
It's going to be real quick.
Ooh, you guys hear that voice change?
Mm.
I'm telling you.
I ain't fucking around.
I know. That's when I go, is anybody looking?
That was I fired a warning shot. Very kind. Hey, player.
Yeah.
You don't need to save her number. I appreciate it. That's it. You go farther than that, then you're worried.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. And it's giving them more attention than they deserve. So
ending
that story, let's get back to me.
To you, right? Yeah. But this was so cool. The way it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, one, you have that kind of that color. You have that light. You know what I mean? You're vibrant, man. And you meet the TV producer that night.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it's a phone call and boom. You know, I will not be surprised if a producer out there worth their salt. Where the fuck does that come from anyway?
I'm sure you'll look it up.
Worth your salt. Where does that come from? I'm sure it's some ancient thing because salt was rare or some shit like that. I could probably get close. But if a producer out there is worth their salt and they see you, I haven't seen the show, right? So I'm sure you did well. Watches the show and they see a beautiful, intelligent Mexican woman that holds it down like that, right? and I mean, you cover some topics, man. The topics you were fucking
topics,
with were not, they weren't some, you know, fly by night. You know, you're talking Elizabeth Warren, politics issues. You know, you're talking South Sudan humanitarian issues.
Yeah.
I mean, these are deep things.
Yeah, that was really, really, actually, that was probably the part that I enjoyed. I really liked listening to their opinions and being able to have opposing opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed going over it with you the night before, hearing your opinion and me voicing it with you. That was really, it was fun. It was titillating.
Well, I'm looking, but again, if a producer worth their salt doesn't watch this show and see all that together and doesn't go, we have to build a show around her somehow.
Oh, that's kind of you.
Then there's no good producers.
It was really, really fun. So they went, and you know what was cool was they didn't have to do a whole lot of retakes, maybe one or two at the most, and it was
that's
just
rare.
Really exit. Yeah. Just on the exits, because it was, you know, both of the ladies' first time.
Well, Candace Blake leading for
Candace
the first
time. Candace led. She led for the first one. I was going to say Candace's lead. She led for the first one, the episode that I was not in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think her name was Kaya. Kaya led for the one that I
cool
was
name.
On. Yeah, I was like, girl, you better be something sexy with that name.
What was that?
I don't know.
Skexy?
I really struggle with the S.
I thought about the first dog I ever had named Shia.
I was thinking about that app that you were talking about on the last show. About
Aya?
Yeah. So she led. She did a great job. They're all from different areas. One's from Haiti.
Is it Haiti, Trinidad, Africa, Jamaica?
Yeah.
And you?
Mexico.
Yeah. And you? Right smack dab in the middle.
Yeah. So.
did they put you in the seat you thought?
Yeah.
The third one? Well,
No. Second one. So
okay.
I was next to the lead.
Okay.
And then to my left was Candace.
Hmm.
And then just on the other one was Sassandra.
Okay.
She's the one that was the singer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I what's funny is as I was going through kind of vetting the other host on my own, I saw a couple out clips with her.
Yeah.
And I was like, that one right there, that she is powerful. She's intelligent. She's been there. Then like, oh yeah, she was on The View before. She traveled like, see, I'm good. I could tell.
What I really loved about them was their confidence. They're like when they did the wardrobe change, it was like, I'm going to put this on. And they put some other savvy outfit. I mean, it was just like wardrobe change. They're totally different people. She, you know, like Candace turned into this. She had this green blouse on that had like major big sleeves. Looked a little bit like one of those Mexican dancer things. And I was like, I'm a little mad that I don't have that on instead of what I have on. but they were great, and it went back and forth. Everybody had the right to have their opinion. You know, they stopped and looked at you and said, "Hey, you know, what do you think?" And we talked a couple things. You know, like we talked about Jada being addicted to porn at one time.
We discussed Jade on the last show. I'm going to leave my opinion out of this
one. You should. Okay.
Oh, I'm leaving it way the fuck out.
And then we moved on, and we also talked about whether or not you would stay with your man if he cheated.
Okay.
And I had an opinion on that.
I'm sure you did.
I did, and I got to voice that. And then I also talked about, we were talking about, so one of the questions was, how do you feel if your man is liking other females' photos on Facebook or commenting.
Don't give it away, though. Let people watch the show.
Yeah, I won't.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. It was cool because not everybody shared the same opinion, especially when we spoke about Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, okay. I was like, don't give it away.
No, I won't.
Make them watch the show. So yeah. Sunday, 8:30 p.m., NBC Comcast sister channel, the Afro Channel.
Yeah.
You can tune in and watch Patricia live host her very first television talk show.
Yes, that was such a great experience. It was really fun.
That is so cool. And then if you're still awake on the same channel at 11.
I won't put you to sleep.
Right. You won't. At 11:30, you'll see my ugly mug having some fun with James. What is James' last name, man?
You should probably look that up.
Yeah, I'm going to look up James' last name real quick.
While you do, I'll go ahead and talk about you.
Oh,
he looked
boy.
Super hot, super comfortable, very funny. He did steal one joke, but I'm not going to say that.
I did.
I know.
Did you pick it up?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean,
it wasn't a joke. It was a premise.
It was still a joke. It was the punchline.
I don't remember which one.
It was the Cosby one.
Oh, I did not steal that joke.
Not intentionally. You just
Let's say that in the comedic world, you make it like I went on there and said someone's punchline. I really didn't know. I couldn't. The teleprompter where he got to had not got to that point yet.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring it up because I don't want to give it away. But I literally just it hit me.
Well,
what he
the
was
same
talking
time
about,
that you said that, I said the same thing.
Right. Well, yeah.
On
similar.
The female end.
Right. So I just was saying something funny. So I said it, and then I saw the teleprompter roll the rest of the way up. I was like, oh, shit.
I know. I was watching it, and I looked next to him. I looked over it. I looked over at her, and I was like, did he just take that?
Well, I felt bad. I was like, oh, no. I was like, I totally just accidentally took the punchline off the monologue.
Well, the cool thing was is it didn't look obvious or intentional. So, and he played it off really well. So it's all good.
Yeah, well, I've certainly found the page here, and it's just saying James. I gotta find his name.
I don't know. I had seen him before though, so he's definitely
he's a known comic in Orlando. He's definitely a known comic in Orlando scene. Is it James Yawn?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, James Yawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know
Y-O-N.
How great that would be. I was just going to say, could you imagine? You're in the entertainment and your last name is Yawn.
Yeah, but it's Y-O-N.
Yeah.
But he was great, man. Great host. And our banter was good, I think, back and forth.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I did like how well he spoke of his wife.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. It's attractive to me when a man talks great about his woman.
Yeah, many comics don't do that. Many comics.
Well, I'm not saying in the material, maybe not. But you know, behind the scenes, they've been married for like I think 23 years, something like that.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah,
that's some time.
Yeah.
Nice. I didn't even think he was that old.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to check him out.
I'm
23
sure it was
years?
A long time. I could be wrong. You know, I'm rarely wrong, but this could be one of those occasions.
Yeah, but it was fun. I had a good time. I can't say enough about trying to fill the funny shoes of Tight Mike after his show. I can't front. For a minute, I'm like, fuck, that dude funny as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And he was staying funny in the room the whole time. You know, I had to kind of find my way in to kind of start something funny through pictures and shit like that before we got going. Cause he dropped some bombs when he was on the thing.
Is it going to be on the same show? Like, is it part of the cut or is it total separate?
His show, they taped his show. It's before mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we'll be Sunday at 11:30.
Awesome.
Yeah, Sunday at 11:30, your Sunday at 8:30. What would be the fucking chances that my first television talk show, your first television host talk show, the first time I'm introduced as a comedian and nothing else, and you're hosting, like, The Point of View.
Yeah.
It's both on basically the same day, within 24 hours of each other, on the same channel.
I know. You know what?
That's crazy shit.
That's why it's, you know, when you, it's kind of the way everything happens. Like our relationship, when you're like, I don't want to go, I'm not going to go there. You show up, you meet that person that you maybe were supposed to meet, whether it's business or relationships.
I thought you were going to say how we both can go to a restaurant or someplace, sit down, get a menu, and we both know we don't want to fucking be there.
I know, right? We've done that a couple times.
Yeah, then you look at me and you're like, I don't know. And I'm like, you want to fucking go? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here. We literally just walked out of...
Everybody probably looked at us like, what's wrong with those people?
Yeah, they just sat us and we're like, fuck this place. We're out.
It was,
and it's not like
it was
a bad place. It just was not... It didn't feel right.
No. You're talking about the one in Arizona where we were like... What's
no, this? I'm talking about the recent one.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
let's leave them out because they could be a sponsor.
Okay.
Tonight we are sponsored by Jameson Irish Whiskey.
Yeah.
You haven't even touched it. Well, what? That is your fourth one.
Hey.
Hey.
You're not supposed to say that.
It's not your fourth one, but it's definitely one. All right. Enough about us. We have bragged enough. I posted. Did you see the post that I made this morning?
No.
That I made? I don't know. That I posted this morning? It was just a question. It has nothing to do with what relationships or love or anything. but an old guest / mentor of mine commented on there.
Leo?
No. Professor George Brooks.
Oh, I have not heard that.
Yeah, he's a cool cat, man. He commented on there. It really has nothing to do with love and relationships, so we'll just go by that.
I see
right
that you're
now.
Distracted right now.
No, I'm pulling up the articles that I saved. Did you?
They're in my mind.
All right, so we'll pull up. Let's get into the articles. Let's see here. Yes, you have a type. We're not going to do that one just yet. So it was obsessed, right? Obsessing over the future of your relationship, right? What does that mean to you when I say that?
I think it's where you're basically trying to control the direction it goes.
Okay. I take it. Now, mind you, I don't read these articles before
I
come on here.
I didn't even know
the
subject.
So I don't know how shitty they're going to get into. But for me, when I hear obsessing over the future of your relationship, when you're constantly pondering over where's this going? Where are we going to be?
Oh, okay.
Are we okay? You know, it's that question. Are you okay? What's wrong? Right? I mean, or this, are we doing the right thing?
Exhausting.
Are we meant for each other? You know, is this right? You know, what's the future going to be like? Should I stay with them? You know, constantly obsessing over the future.
Yeah. And that's very, very common. But I don't know that I didn't look at it so much that way when you said those words, like not obsessing over the future, but trying to control every moment of it.
Well, Cupid's timeline, how to avoid the relationship trap of future obsession. You're in a relationship. Struggles and high points throughout your romance with your partner are only natural. But during tough times, do you find yourself thinking obsessively about what lies ahead? What is the future of your relationship? What will it look like in a year, 5 years, a decade? I call this phenomenon Cupid's timeline, a deceptive trap that threatens the harmony and longevity of romance. I get it. Esteemed philosopher Martin Hedger proposed that each of us live ahead of ourselves. We exist in a joint state of presence in the moment and projection into the future. Hedger believed people infuse their lives with purpose by creating a narrative covering the totality of their existence, best defined as, quotes, my life story. Time, for Hedger, was best understood not as a clock time, but as a way through which we live and thereby make meaning. Oh. This subjective experience of time is one I relate to. In each moment, as I appreciate where I am aware of life's journey, a forward trajectory of the next stage. ahead of ourselves correlates with falling in love, providing a valuable lesson about our relationships. Cupid's timeline results in codependent future projection. Interesting. In an earlier article, I explained how to fall in love without losing independence. Mike, remaining independent...
Oh my God, you're a dick.
I love him, man. He's been on the show enough.
Yeah.
Remaining independent involves distinguishing between romanticized love as a myth, chemical addiction, and codependency, a true love. Cupid's timeline is a byproduct of the former. The meeting point of codependency in Hedger's theory of living ahead of ourselves, making future plans with a partner is exciting. Wholesome, are you listening, Mike? And fun. Plus, a shared vision creates a sense of assurance. I'm not here to dismiss this. However, Cupid's timeline is the unconscious melding of two individual future projections. Both partners' mental timelines fuse together and become inseparable. My life story becomes our life story.
Jeez, it's like a murder happening.
Living ahead of yourself now includes a plus one. Whether imagining the upcoming weekend or 5 years' time, or December 2020, your vision of the future is co-joint. This may sound harmless, desirable even. But genuine independence requires each partner to retain healthy detachment from the other. I'll repeat, Mike.
Baby.
Independence requires requires each partner to retain healthy detachment from the other. Fused life stories can result in a number of relationship problems.
I got to readjust for this one.
Is it wrong, though? I mean, this is a lot of people don't look into relationships like this. They're just like, this is so great. Oh, yeah. Then we'll get married and da da da. They build this thing up. They just merge the two stories in one.
You're saying that a lot of people do, not don't.
Oh, they do. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So the problems. You should catch up with me. Expectations and attachment increase pressure. Ho! Someone sent you a text about not adding pressure. It happened. Don't give me a look like that. Remember, right. What was that? No, I'm not going to follow him as he chases a federal officer.
I didn't tell you not to do anything. I'm just looking at you with shock.
Yeah, in awe. A Cupid's timeline unconsciously forms between you and your partner. So does attachment to its outcome. The fruition of this imagined future becomes relevant than the unfolding of reality. This is a recipe for disaster in your relationship. I'll repeat. This is a recipe for disaster in your relationship. The nature of Cupid's timeline means that it forms without our awareness. Both partners will form their co-joined future from their own perspectives, desires, beliefs, and conditioning. Conflicting timelines will thus cause conflict. What if one partner views a future full of travel and the nomadic lifestyle, while the other envision a quiet future full of Netflix, tea drinking, and early nights?
And gaining weight.
Right? And a lot of snoring. Expectations and attachment add unnecessary pressure on relationships. They cause stress, disrupt flow, and transfer attention from the relationship as it is to your idea of where the relationship is going.
I'm sorry. I was giving you some medicine. I'm sorry. I do apologize.
All right.
You're really good at this.
What?
Reading. I'm
good at reading. Yeah. I'm glad I'm good at reading.
I can hear the passion.
Well, no, this is legit.
I know.
I love this take on the relationship, man. And this is something a lot of people don't think about. Because when you're so busy falling in love, when you're so busy in the story that you all are creating, right, that the pair is creating, the independence is lost. Like that. It's gone. It's never even had a chance. You know what I mean? And so many people, they just fall in at the blinking, right? The, yeah. Oh, my God. You know? And,
no,
and,
I agree. It is definitely leading for disaster.
Yeah. They cause stress, disrupt flow, and transfer attention from the relationship as it is to your idea of where the relationship is going. December 2020.
That's why I was doing that. Right? When I was doing that, I was really going, oh, no.
Many relationships fall at this hurdle despite having lots of potential. The perfect fantasy over present reality. Have you ever experienced a relationship that is mostly conceptual, where most of the relationship takes place in the minds of each partner, formed by ideas, shared dreams, and speculation, rather than the reality of your shared experience? Comments, quotes. That's some deep shit.
It really is. It's kind of a lot. Like when you really, like, everything that you're saying is ridiculously real, and so many people do it, and they end up living in the future before they get there and not enjoying the present.
Yeah.
And sabotaging
it. It's about
it.
Us. It's we now. There is no I.
Or it's about us. There ain't no we now. Right? It could be the man doing it.
I know. I was trying to... Come on. Keep going with the... one of my most intoxicating relationships followed this structure. Without realizing, I became attached to the concept of what the relationship could be rather than the reality of what the relationship was. Our words and visions were syrup, adding sweetness to my craving for the one, in quotes. Before I knew it, I had become more attached to the idea of the relationship. I was living a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
This attachment was a denial of reality. Our relationship was destined to end. Desperate to manifest the fantasy, I overlooked red flags, made irrational decisions, and caused myself an abundance of unnecessary and extended suffering thanks to my blind belief in Cupid's timeline.
It sounds like they're living a constant production.
Yeah.
You know, like you're
Well, a lot of people do. They miss the red flags.
Yeah, intentionally. They don't miss them.
What was the last article we in last week's show when we talked about the thing that usually makes us fall in love with them is the shit we can't stand later?
Yeah.
You know, they're looking at that. They're like, "Oh my God, I've never had someone treat me like this." You know what I mean? Then later, like, "I hate
just
this bitch."
Stop doing that.
Right.
Yeah. That is actually like it can cover a huge spectrum of things that would almost be understandable, but you know, sometimes if you're drawn to someone for like simple reasons, maybe that's going to be okay.
I love this bit here. The most painful part of the breakup was the separation of our life story back into my life story. I had to grieve a conceptual death.
That dream died for him.
The fantasy. It wasn't even a dream as it was a... Well, I guess what you mean, like a dream state.
Yeah.
Sure. Not like a dream, like I want to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
The reality punched him in the... That's true, because when you paint this, it's us. We're together. It's our story now.
Yeah,
we're together,
like,
forever.
What?
Where
it's
is
over.
Your story? Where is you... What, right? Let's chat about that a minute. I know you got something to say about that.
No,
I definitely know you do. Don't... When couples get in relationships, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, before you meet someone, you have your story, right? How many people hate their present fucking story, right? Mm-hmm. Or have fear in their story of the I, my story, that rather than fix that story, they add someone to the story so it's now our story because of the fear of the current story.
I think that if they hated it that bad, they're trying to change it completely. I know misery loves company, yes, of course. But I think they're going, like, a lot of times they want to change it completely from maybe what they had prior. And so they want it to be the opposite, something totally new.
But that you went from our story to another our story.
Well, no, it was, well, yeah. Our story with the other person, and now they want another our story, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably more common than the other.
because there is no my story.
Yeah, that's why they're in the position they're at.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The my story is sadness, pain, lonesomeness.
Needing, afraid to be alone. No independence, not financially, but independence mentally.
Man, I think, wow, I wanted to pose it. What's more important, right? The independence emotionally, right? And or mentally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or financially?
Well, I think if you're independent financially, it does provide you more choices.
Sure.
You make different choices. Like, think about how many people, if they're financially stable and they're sick of someone's shit, they go, I'm Deuces. Freaking out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Prenup.
But if you, yeah. Which that podcast that we listened to about the prenup, I really enjoyed that
the way,
podcast.
That was Mixed Energy.
Yeah.
Mixed Energy podcast.
It was really real. It just, yeah. It's like.
It's a partnership here. It's like, yes. We're sitting here. Let's talk about this.
If
I like how detailed they got.
If you're going to make that serious decision, that kind of thought should, I mean, like he said, you put so much thought into, she said, if you put so much, what the hell?
If you put so much thought in a thumb.
Mike Tyson will be with you. You put so much thought into other things. You do your research or is this the greatest makeup for my skin? Is this the proper, you know, lotion, whatever. But then you don't put the research into something that's supposed to be lifelong. Like if you were to break up, who gets what?
Yeah.
Or what did you come into the marriage with, the relationship with, all those kind of things, you know?
Yeah, they looked at it. I mean, he went as far as saying, look, let's write down in this interview. He said, let's write down. We've talked about it, right? Who does what chore? Who does what thing?
Yeah.
Remember, I'm not so crazy, right? Where I was like, well, all right, you do this, I do that, you know? And so for them, you know, the way he approached it was like a partnership business deal. I know it doesn't sound romantic, but it took out, well, see, there's a back preface or a backstory where he only brings it up a little bit, which is, what's the phrase? It's a Tim Ferriss phrase. It's like decision energy or something. Decision fatigue, choice fatigue, right?
Okay.
Joyce Meyer, actually, a religious writer, wrote about that in one of the first books I read called Battlefield of the Mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'll use that to preface decision fatigue, right?
Okay.
Think of every morning you walk into the closet to get dressed. How long do you spend going, what am I going to wear? Right. Not you personally, but individually, you, right? Walks into an office or walks in a closet and they're like, what am I wearing today?
Yeah.
Right. Do I put this on? Do I wear this on? How do I do my hair today? All these decisions, right? Well, if it's 5 minutes, right? You know, I only take 5 minutes to get dressed, to think about what I have to put on. Well, times that by every day of your fucking life.
Yeah. How much time are you wasting on stupid stuff?
How much time are you standing in a closet that, you know, you have wasted hours, you know what I mean? You're just, well, so the point that Joyce Meyer made is just make the choice, right?
Yeah.
So the back end of the guy who's being interviewed there on the show has a lot of Tim Ferriss about decision fatigue, right? So they try to clear out decision fatigue. In the relationship, by saying, here, I'll take out the trash, you do this.
Yeah.
And even as far as like, look, we know that we like, he said that we like to travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So since we like to travel, the one thing we're not going to worry about budgeting is how we travel.
Right.
So it's like, we're going to splurge on that shit. And that way there's no debate.
Yeah.
You know, she loved that. He loved that. This is where we're going to splurge. So a lot of the back end of that interview was about decision fatigue, right? And so it wasn't necessarily structuring like a business or partnership as much as it was going, let's lay out a plan here. So it's not like, are you going to take the trash out or am I going to take the trash out? Are you going to empty the dishwasher? Yeah. Or am I gonna? It was just like, that's her thing. That's my thing. That's the thing. So there is no, and there's some to that. When you take that out of the equation of going like, that's her thing.
Yeah. I think that's great, actually. I mean, for starters, real quick, that was one of their major connections was they were similar in that way of wanting an agenda or wanting an outline of what's the responsibility.
Sure.
So they had that connection. That's the mistake people make is when they are that type of person and then they get together with someone that is the opposite where they're like, screw it, who cares? Or they're offended.
We're in love.
Like, yeah.
Why do we have to do paperwork?
Yeah, that's enough to drive that person crazy. So they did automatically have that connection. So they handled it good. But he obviously voiced that they had some trials with it, remember?
Sure.
You know, they had to take a time out and stuff, which is good. Because if you know, if you recognize that you need to just chill for a second because you are talking about money or... Because remember, he knew everything about her finances, but she knew nothing about his. Mm-hmm. So they kind of ironed things out. So it worked for them. But I think it's good because they're communicating with each other. There's so many people that just assume, and then that's how their relationships are doomed because they don't really communicate about ultimately what's really important to them. Yes.
From the beginning. Well, think about if you go through that in the beginning, right? So we got to take a time out as we're organizing this. How much of who's going to take the trash out of the next 35, 40 years of your life are you no longer worried about?
Right. Because, but there is that line, though, where I go like this. Oh, my gosh. Can we just live? I mean, I get it. You know, like, I believe that there's certain things like, you know, you kind of recognize you're good at this. I'm good at that. So we just automatically go, that's your new job, you know. Yeah. But I don't know that I would be okay with everything to be an outline. Everything. You know, then it becomes.
We probably should have talked about this early in our relationship.
I don't want life to feel like a job or an obligation.
I get that, but I'm going to lean more toward them.
I do like what they have.
Because
I do.
For me, is if he would say, if you get it out in the beginning,
yeah,
get through it, organize it, how much you really got to understand the idea of decision fatigue, mm-hmm. right? Or frustration, right? Mm-hmm. Of how long does she go because he's not doing this.
Right.
You haven't talked about it. She just hopes he'll come around and do it, right? Mm-hmm. Or he just hopes she'll come around and eventually do it. Right. And then how 20 years, 10 years, you know what? You never fucking da da da. You know what I mean? Instead of just going, hey, you, me, you, me, you, me. Now let's just live our fucking life.
Yeah. I agree with you on that because, you know, sometimes that person that may be the passive one, if they did talk about it, they would recognize how important it was to that other person so they could easily take that on.
Or might not recognize how much it may benefit the actual relationship as a whole, right? Remember the two people in the relationship, three entities to it, right?
Yeah.
To where if the other one's going, you know what? I don't have to worry about that. That it's placed. We know our, what's the line? Know your role.
Right. Yeah.
Know your role. So if you know your role in a relationship and in the beginning,
it does simplify it to allow it to go further and smoother on the things that are fun because you've already kind of gotten past that.
Yeah. You're really good with me to not to get personal because I don't want to, but you know I'm an organized freak, you know, to the point of OCD at times. And I hate saying that because being a mental health background, it's not OCD. Mm-hmm. OCD is a debilitating mental health disorder. I even too get perturbed when people are like, yeah, I'm OCD. I'm like, no, you're fucking not.
Yeah, they throw that around a lot. Yeah. And then you go, really? Do you really know what that means?
Yeah, it's debilitating disorder for people.
Right.
So and I'm just an organized freak, man. But if we're going to go on a trip, we're going somewhere, you're just like, this motherfucker got this shit packed. You know what I mean? This shit is lined up. I know we got our shit. The shit's there. And you don't try to force your way in. You just know. You let that roll.
No, I do the things that I know that I enjoy. Like, I'll make sure that when you wake up that early or whatever, you've already got coffee.
I do love that.
You know, I'll do all those things. You have coffee or the dogs are taken care of while you're doing. I make it easy for you to perform.
Oh, I love that, you sneaky little shit. I love that. All right, let's get out of personal veil now. Let's see. Not today, Cupid. After this, I have to pee so badly.
You got it.
All right. So I'm like, I'm,
I put
can
pants
you see me
on
fidgeting?
So I could pee. So you could do the same.
I'm over here fidgeting. I'm literally got the pee like step going on. Right.
Yeah.
Let me see how long this part is. It's almost the end of the article. Oh God. All right, I'm going to read quickly. Well, hi there, Gracie.
She gave the ear clap.
Yeah. So
she was happy when you said you were going to finish reading.
So he's still covering the disasters, right? That are set up in the obsession, right?
Okay.
Not today, Cupid. Becoming conscious and empowering yourself isn't about changing thoughts or impulses. It's about choosing the way we respond. It's understandable for Cupid's timeline to affect you. I get it. I've been there, done that. I've got a wardrobe full of t-shirts, full of the t-shirts. However, bringing awareness into your timeline and choosing to step back is key. When noticing a joint vision for the future, ask yourself, is this a conscious, empowering, shared vision, or is this a default vision powered by my own needs, desires, and social conditioning about the concept of romantic love? The choice is then yours to choose to pry apart your timelines or to relinquish control. In any relationship, this isn't a solo project. Find the time to place and discuss the concept with your partner and be clear and honest about the visions your mind's eye has created. Pay attention to how much time you and your partner invest in future projection. Life is lived in the present, yet planning ahead can be addictive. Aim for balance. Agree to find the sweet spot between being ahead of ourselves and simply being together. Invest attentiveness, love, and energy into where your relationship is right now. Nurture the relationship. Be present with the one you love more often than you nurture your future vision. Choose to consciously co-create visions. Give them the attention they deserve and the awareness of their impertinent dreamlike state. Time will take care of itself. Years down the line, hand in hand, heart to heart, you and your partner may reflect on time past and moments shared, where your timeline was a reality nourished through a succession of affectionate nows, not lost in a fantasy.
Okay, so really quick.
Oh, you.
I could do that just to your voice.
Oh. Talk amongst yourselves.
All right.
I've got to pay.
You mean you're not going to trick me this time?
No, I'm coming back.
Don't forget to take your headset off.
I need more of my shorts that you like.
Yeah, I did. I said don't forget to take those off. I'll leave the headphones. I did actually convince Adam to buy those short shorts. Yeah. I like it when the shorts are like mid-thigh. There's something hot about it, you know, instead of like covering, like you remember about like 6 or 7 years ago where it was mid-knee, which that was cool then. But, you know, I'm not in a guy band or something like that where they are walking around with too big of clothes and stuff. I like to see his legs. So he really stepped out. I took it a little bit more fun just now. But yeah, it's fun to watch him when he wears those. So anywho, let me tell you what I think about that. Of course, I think it's good to be proactive on a lot of things, but I think when you put so much thought into the relationship in the beginning, you don't even get to enjoy why you're there. I mean, the spontaneity, the romance, the finding things out, that's what's exciting about it. But then when you decide you're going to get serious, yes, you can decide if this person, I think you can kind of in general tell realistically if they're going to work for you, unless you're being what he was explaining, which is obsessive, where you're almost like trying to control or make it be something that it might actually not be, where you're creating this idea of what the perfect relationship is. And then it sabotages the relationship. I kind of feel like initially when he said that, I was thinking to myself, have you ever been that friend where they call you and go, hey, so what are the plans tonight? What are we doing? You know, everybody's looking at you for direction and stuff where you're like, dude, can I just show up one time? Sometimes I think people might feel that way in a relationship where they just would like to, in the beginning, just show up, have a good time and be present where you're at. Then when you think, hey, this person is kind of like me, they like these activities, they like this type of organization, they like, welcome back, Adam.
Go on.
All right. So, you know, they you can recognize that they have enough similarities to where you can decide that, hey, I'd like to spend more time with them and make it more serious. Then is when you decide to do these proactive things. Instead of jumping into it, I think that's the biggest problem nowadays is that when someone is codependent because they want to save someone or take care of them, they decide they're going to plan out their whole life and become controlling in the relationship, and to where it no longer has the right meaning of getting your relationship in order as far as what you guys want out of life. Like if you out of life, like if you do want a prenup or everything like that, I think those things are jumped to too quickly to decide if it's even worthy of that. Like, why do you have to get to that point? Why not enjoy them first? See those things before you decide how much you really want to dissect your relationship. Then once you get to that point is where you can go, hey, she seems like she's as organized as myself and I want to start going on vacations with her. Then you can kind of communicate with each other on like, you know, what we were talking about where each of you are good at something or this is your role, or you can decide who wants to be the leader in this situation. And then in the next situation, the other person can be the leader because you recognize each other's skills. You know, instead of trying to delegate to someone something they're not as interested in as you are, if then that means you might be the one to be in charge of that. And then you can eliminate some of the stress because it doesn't feel like work for you if that's what you're passionate about or good at. You know?
Damn. This has been He Said, She Said. I think that's a good cutout. We're nearing our end mark here. Oh. So we only have a few minutes left anyway. So what I'm going to do is preface.
All right.
About the, yes, you do have a type. Just ask your exes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to let you. Okay, time out. I need to go to the restroom as well.
Well, we're not covering this. So,
oh, we're not?
Nope.
Oh, I was excited to do that.
I wanted to cover it, but we're 55 minutes in.
My favorite number.
Ah, look at that.
Hola.
Right? So 55 minutes in. We only try to keep this an hour, you know. Okay. So it's actually kind of a longer article.
That's cool. No, it's a good spinoff. We can stay tuned for when we get into that.
Yeah, we'll cover that. Yes, you do have a type. Just ask your exes. I'm going to read the first paragraph.
Oh, come on. I'm going to pee my pants. Hurry up.
It's short. It's short. Let's say you have just gotten out of a romantic relationship and are ready to look for someone new, someone different, someone who, above all, is the polar opposite of your ex, who, by the end of it, was frankly driving you nuts. One more. After some false starts, you make a match. Things are going great. Honestly. You begin telling your friends and family and even start thinking long term when, weeks or months into the new relationship, it suddenly hits you. This new partner is eerily similar to the last one.
Ooh, maybe you're the common denominator that sucks.
Ah, maybe. Shit. We're going to leave it. Shit.
Yeah. I love it when you do that.
Shit. We're going to leave it there, y'all. Make sure you tune in to my beautiful,
yeah, you can't
beautiful
miss
lady.
Out on his voice.
What?
Oh, I was, I'm sorry. I went on a rant on my own.
Oh, when you rant on your own.
Oh, wait. I just asked that your voice was great and you freaking mocked mine.
No, you just, I love your voice. It has sung me to sleep many a nights.
I have.
Yeah. So make sure you tune in and watch my baby, please.
And mine too.
Oh, yeah. And yours too. We talked about it enough in the beginning. You know where it's at? It'll be this Sunday, 8:30 for her. Primetime Network hosting the Point of View show on NBC's sister channel, Comcast Cable. Afro Channels. You'll find it. It's on Sling TV, Apple TV, Roku, the Fire Stick, a couple others. I can't quite remember off the top of my head all the different places you can find and watch it. She'll be live at 8:30 hosting The Point of View. And if you're still awake and hanging out or after your other partner has fallen asleep next to you.
If you want to laugh.
And you want to laugh and you're still awake, I will be on that very same channel at 11:30 on Sunday. With James Yawn and his show, The Lowdown, doing some funny stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Anything left to add, dear?
Just that I thought that was really sweet of you to say that all that fun stuff about me. I like that.
Aw. I'm going to get laid later tonight, Joe.
I thought we weren't going to get personal.
I'm not. That's just factual.
Okay.
Yeah. Hope you're getting laid tonight, too. I hope you enjoyed He Said, She Said, where we
get laid.
talk, love, and relationships. Oh. And if you listen to Patricia and I, more than likely, you probably will get laid and fall in love in some fashion.
Hopefully.
Again, like, subscribe, and follow us. YouTube, Facebook, if you're watching this already, like and follow the page. We'll be on iTunes here shortly. Got some things we're working out. But, yeah, until next week, we came a little early.
That's a first.
That would be the first for me. But, yeah, we went live on Friday nights. Maybe we start doing this Friday instead of Sunday. What do you think?
I think there's no need to plan.
But I do.
I was just joking.
I know you were, baby. So I like Friday nights kind of because it's
ain't
like
got
our
no
Friday
job. It's ain't got like, shit to do.
It's like our happy hour. Like
yeah.
We bounce out of work Friday. We both kind of work for ourselves.
It is relaxing. I like that. I mean, I've had a great time all day today just having a nice Friday together. So I think it'd be cool to invite everybody Friday night.
Yeah, so Friday night's it. So Friday night looks like it may turn instead of Sundays because Sundays we're trying to chill, relax until, you know, the work week about to start. So maybe you'll catch us Friday nights now from now on instead of Sunday nights. We won't give you time after that. But hope you're in love, doing it right, not obsessing about the future of your relationship. And God forbid, hope you're not dating your exes over and over. And
or if you recognize that you're not in love, I hope you're not imprisoned by that.
Oh, you had to get, dang, you got all counselor love and relationships right there. All right, y'all, we enjoyed it. Love you lots. See you next Friday.
Yeah, love you.